If you've been paying close attention to the news recently, you've heard a fair amount of remorse.
I am deeply sorry. I cannot change the decisions I made, nor can I undo the harm my behavior caused then and today.
You know, my apology was sincere when it was given, and I made it sincere when I gave it again.
You know, social norms have begun to change, they've shifted, and the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset, and I get it.
Joe Biden, Kevin Hart, and Ralph Northam there, all of those statements followed a huge amount of public outrage. So are there lessons here in how to deal with past mistakes, and are these high-profile shamings making us afraid of risk? Joining me now is Martha Crawford, a psychotherapist who writes the blog What a Shrink Thinks. Martha, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, it seems like almost every week there is another story in the news about someone having to answer for something they did in the past, whether it's an old tweet, whether it's an uncomfortable hug, or just some mistake that was made many years ago. What do you think about that?
I think it's complex. I think that, obviously mores are changing. But more importantly, you know, there's often a lot of dialogue about whether this kind of public shaming is okay or not okay or destructive or not destructive. And I think there's a lot of different components in this that often get kind of lost in the conversation. And I think there's a lot more nuance in these transactions than is often assessed.
What do you think is lost in the conversation?
We actually have, in some ways, a bigger problem processing guilt. I think it's very hard for most people in any kind of conversation, whether it's about Me Too kinds of issues or issues related to white privilege or other kinds of failures. People become defensive and terrified as soon as any feeling that seems like it might, you know, be guilty emerges inside of them.
And the other thing is, we're told at a young age that it's okay to make mistakes. And
right.
Then here we are as adults saying, no, it's not okay. That mistake is not okay.
Well, I mean, I think that there's, a pretty complex transaction that happens, which is one is there's a lot of projection that people, involved in the public censure are participating in, even if it's a behavior that really requires censure. Sometimes we use the opportunity to designate a scapegoat who becomes representative of all of the badness that we're contending with, all of the symbolic failure, all of the oppression, all of the incidents of harassment or prejudice. But I also think that there is a lot of challenge when you're on the side where you actually have committed an infraction or a discomfort or impinged upon someone or created some transaction that left someone oppressed or, you know, disenfranchised in some way. I think the fear of guilt is so intense that we've kind of lost our way through negotiating guilt feeling.
Well, let's talk about two examples in the public eye, two politicians who got mm-hmm. caught up in stuff. Al Franken mm-hmm. is one. He was caught up in the Me Too movement, forced to mm-hmm. resign from the Senate. He mm-hmm. talked in his resignation speech on the Senate floor about the irony of him resigning while President Trump, who's been accused of worse than he was, is still mm-hmm. president. Mm-hmm. So he, I don't think, was very happy with what happened and the accountability that he faced. At the same time, you've got Ralph Northam, the governor of Virginia, who admitted mm-hmm. to wearing blackface years ago. He's still in office. Mm-hmm. Both of these men did things they're not proud of, and one sort of got away with it, I guess you could say, and the other one
right.
didn't. What do you think about that, the way that people themselves make a choice about what the appropriate penalty is?
You know, what I think is that mostly what happens is people don't want to lose anything. Mostly what people want is to go back, to put things back the way they were before as if they'd never broken anything, which is really different, I think, than finding your way forward and allowing a failure to remake you and remodel you and reorganize how you see yourself.
So are you better off than admitting that you did something wrong?
Psychologically? I mean, politically, I don't know. But psychologically, if I was your therapist, yeah. I think trying to get back to the way things were before is almost always a futile event. It negates the fact that, you know, for somebody who feels harmed, something was changed. And if you're trying to go back to the way things were before, mm-hmm. They may not be able to do that with you.
Do you think that we, not the perpetrators, but we, the viewing public, I guess, mm-hmm. are holding people to too high a standard, that we're not allowing people to make mistakes?
I think there are cases where we're too you know, too quick to rush to judgment. We don't have the full story. There is trial by the media. There are ways that the collective judgment, you know, annihilates people who maybe don't require that level of annihilation. But I also think that there's a real need for people to slow down when they've made an error. I've watched on social media, for example, a lot of people make mistakes. And I've watched a lot of people confront that. And I've been confronted. I've had people say to me, the thing that you're saying right now really, really is only about white people. And you're really speaking out of white culture. And what you're saying is really specific to a very specific group of people. And it's leaving people out. And usually I say, oh, thank you. You're absolutely right. That's really useful for me. I appreciate you pointing that out. And, you know, the transaction is resolved and we move on. What really does us in is a kind of very binary thinking about all good and all bad, that this person is all bad or I'm all good or I can't possibly have done anything bad because I'm a very good person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think these binaries, when we've bought into them, and usually it's because we're fearful of either the infraction itself or what the guilt's going to do to us or what will happen if censure isn't set, I think that when we respond in these fearful ways, we exacerbate it and make the world seem more black and white than it is.
Well, and do we also create a new fear of risk? I want to bring to our listeners' attention another story that was in the news recently. Kevin Hart, the actor, was called out for old tweets that were homophobic before he was supposed to host the Oscars. He apologized, but it wasn't enough. And then nobody else wanted to be put up as host of the Oscars because they didn't want the scrutiny that came along with the job. Are we just too afraid of the risk of making a mistake?
I thought the Oscars worked fairly well without a host.
Okay. With that aside, yes, I agree with you.
But that being said, I actually think that if we could actually learn as individuals to process guilt differently, it would help to de-escalate public shamings. But as far as the emotional transaction, diffusing it, it's not just about apologizing. You know, apologizing, again, can often be experienced as a way trying to get back to the way things were before. You've forgiven me. Okay, good, done. I'm off the hook. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger challenge is not to go back, but to try to find your way forward as a different person who's been changed in some way, who can demonstrate that change, who can make reparation, who can initiate a restitutive gesture, who can maybe lose something and withstand that and find a new path. I mean, I think when we've really hurt somebody in profound ways, that's part of what has to happen in order for something to move forward and be healed between people.
So you have to be able to accept whatever it was that you did and say, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to try to be a better person now. And I'm sorry for this thing that I did in the past. Now, the question is, will other people be able to forgive you for whatever it was that you did?
And they may or may not. I mean, depending on the depth of the injury, depending on the intensity of the trauma or the trigger that it activates in somebody else, I don't think we move toward atonement, right, in ourselves for other people's sake. We do it because we're trying to heal our own sense of relationship to our own values. If somebody who's been harmed can receive that and they want to forgive, that's a lovely thing. But it's a lot to require of people, depending on how deeply or intensely they've been harmed.
As a psychotherapist, how often do you have to talk to people about this sort of thing?
Every day.
Really?
Yeah, this is daily work in one form or another, right? You know, people hurt each other. People have been hurt. People are fearful that they aren't forgiving enough. People are fearful that they're too forgiving. People, right? Like, you know, this transaction of like, how do I really take responsibility, allow this to change me, allow this to make me a better person? What if they never forgive me? What do I do then? What if I can't repair what I broke? Can I still be a good person? What value do I still have to offer the world? What if my perpetrator never understands what they did to me ever? Now what do I do? How do I move forward if I can never get them to understand? These are daily conversations in my work.
I just want to finally ask you, just because we've been talking about a lot of politicians, what do you think about the president of the United States who very rarely, if ever, admits to a failure and apologizes for it? And he's, you know, he's been able to get by doing just that for quite some time.
It's funny. I was thinking about that on the way in. I was thinking about how that's really very much an expression and a symbol of the struggle I think we're having collectively right now, which is that culturally we used to have in, you know, the distant past some mechanisms about how do we approach forgiveness? How do we approach atonement? How many Hail Marys do I need to say, mm-hmm. right? How many steps do I need to crawl up on my knees? What hair shirt do I need to wear in order to purge myself of this? And we've instead we have somebody in office currently who actually does not do that. We literally have no model and haven't for a while, which is part of the reason I think, this is manifest. We don't know how to process guilt in the way we used to. And so all we're left with is public censure and shame, which can just escalate. You know, you see people sometimes who really do seek forgiveness or simply accept responsibility, and you can feel it. You can hear it in their voice. Right? They didn't implode and collapse in shame and beg the world to rescue them from how terrible they feel about themselves. They didn't accuse anyone. They didn't become defensive. Right? They said, I'm a failed human being and I failed in this way and I'm taking it seriously and it matters to me and I'm going to learn something from it.
That is Martha Crawford, who is a psychotherapist in New York. Her blog is What a Shrink Thinks. Martha, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.